Thanks for joining me in this edition of the Brian Sussman Show. This is episode 237, and it's part four of my series, Key Concepts, from my book, Climate Cult. And what we're going to talk about in this episode is the temperature record. I think this will be an excellent episode to share, especially with a young person who is in junior high or high school, or potentially even college, because they're not going to get this kind of information, this kind of truthful information in their schools, including many private schools. They're not teaching about the temperature record, the climate record, in a realistic way. Instead, what they're doing is feeding them propaganda, dogma, designed to shape an opinion that makes them believe that the Earth is in peril because of the use of, in particular, fossil fuels. So I think you'll find this to be a very beneficial episode as a result of that. For those of you who are listening to this podcast, I will be presenting a PowerPoint presentation for those on YouTube and Rumble, but I'll do my very best to articulate what the slides say so you won't feel as if you're missing anything. So with that in mind, we're going to go to a phrase that I unpack in Climate Cult: follow the science. We hear it all the time. Follow the science is a cleverly devised phrase. It's a tactic to employ groupthink. And I talk a lot about this in chapter 3 of my book, the chapter entitled Designer Pollutant. We don't follow the science. We do science. And here's what I say in the book. Doing science is only as good as two essential elements. First, the logical quality of the reasoning involved, and second, the quality of the premises as evidence and data being input at the front end of the process. If one is not responsible with this process, it's garbage in, garbage out. Again, we do science. We don't follow the science. We do science. We think critically. We want our young people to learn how to think, not what to think. What to think is indoctrination. And that's what they're getting with the temperature record. Now, let me share with you a slide that I first shared in my book, Climate Gate, in 2010. But it's represented once again in this book, because this is a slide. And for those of you who are listening, I'll do my best to explain what folks are seeing on YouTube and Rumble. Now, looking at this simple schematic, you'll notice that there was a medieval warm period where temperatures were clearly higher than they are today. It lasted from about 900 to 1300 AD. That was followed by a little ice age from 1350 to about 1800 AD. And since that little ice age, you'll notice temperatures have been warming, as one would expect, to the present. And you'll notice the present is nowhere near as hot as the medieval warm period was. Now, there's a real problem here, because while at one time this graph was accepted by so many as being the truth, in the 1990s, there was a mathematical exercise that is quite frankly mind-boggling that was put forward by a professor named Michael Mann, and he was able to essentially flatten out the medieval warm period and flatten out the ice age, the little ice age, to make it look as if temperatures were pretty much flat until the Industrial Revolution in the late 1800s. And then temperatures spiked upward like a hockey stick laying on its side. So we have a hockey stick graph that, again, was created, fabricated, if you will, by a scientist with a clear agenda. You can see that the medieval warm period has been completely wiped out with a few ebbs and flows here and there. The little ice age also pretty much wiped out, despite historical evidence, despite proxy evidence. But you can see on the right side of this graph, the temperature spikes upward, and that's where we are today, and it's all because of the Industrial Revolution. And as a result, the medieval warm period, nothing but fantasy. Same with the Little Ice Age. We were tipped off that the climate record had been greatly altered by activists in 2009 when there was a leak from the Climate Research Unit at the University of East Anglia in the UK. And as a result, thousands of emails were leaked. Emails proving, and I'm going to show you some of these emails in just a moment, emails proving that, again, very radical activists were willing to alter the temperature record to make it look as if humans are creating climate change, a climate change that is bringing the world into peril. Let me share with you a series of emails just to emphasize my point at how corrupt this is and how I'm just so grateful that these emails were leaked by somebody desiring for the public to know the truth. Here's the first slide. This is from Phil Jones. He's director of the Climate Research Unit, and he's talking about skeptics who refer back to the medieval warm period when there was no industrial revolution and the temperatures were significantly warmer than today. The background is that the skeptics keep referring back to it, and I'd like to prove that it is a schematic. That graph is just a schematic. And it isn't based on real data, but on presumed knowledge at some point around the late 1980s. Now, that graph was put together by the guy who was the former founding director of the Climate Research Unit, Hubert Lam. A wonderful man, a great scientist, well-regarded in his field, but they're basically saying it's fake news. Now, here's Tom Wigley, former director of the Climate Research Unit, talking about Hubert Lam. He's saying Hubert Lam was out to lunch, even on these timescales. As you know, this arose from his uncritical use of historical sources. You see, this is a real problem for these climate activists. They don't want you to know the historical record. They'd rather use data that's been, in many cases, manipulated to prove their case. But all of that said, let me just give you some historical notations. There was a point in time where we know that Greenland had a climate that was actually livable. That was the Vikings' home base. You also, and I've seen this with my own eyes, you can go to the Alps and you can see ancient tree lines, old tree stumps that exist above the current tree line, indicating that it was much warmer many hundreds of years ago during the medieval warm period. And this is something you notice throughout the world. And so Dr. Hubert Lam used those to emphasize that the climate was at one time clearly warmer than today. But the climate activists want to just totally ignore all of that because they have an agenda. This is Bob Carter, a geologist, who really was critical of some of these manipulations that were taking place behind the scenes. Here's what he had to say. I also think the science is being manipulated to put a political spin on it, which for all of our sakes might not be too clever in the long run. Bob Carter was a truth teller, and he was very concerned with the shenanigans that were taking place with the climate record. Here's Jeff Jenkins. He was also at the meteorology office at the Hadley Center. He said, what if climate change appears to be just mainly a multi-decadal natural fluctuation? They'll kill us probably. In other words, he was concerned that the data was implying there was no long-term constant trend of warming, but instead it seemed as if this may have been more of a decadal thing. You know, every 10 years, the climate would just sort of change, not being manipulated by fossil fuels. And so what did he say there? He said, if the public were to find out, they'd kill us probably. Here's Rob Wilson from the University of St. Andrews. He was saying it will be very difficult to make the medieval warm period go away in places like Greenland. Again, this manipulation of data was being criticized by scientists who were indeed people who wanted to do science, not follow the groupthink. Here's another very telling email from Phil Jones once again. He says, getting people we know and trust into the IPCC report team is vital. In other words, he didn't want outliers. He didn't want people who would look at things from a different point of view or a different lens, or perhaps not be a part of their political agenda at large. This is damning. Now here's Jonathan Overpeck. I talk about Overpeck extensively in my book, Climate Gate. I bring him back into the picture a bit in Climate Cult. But he says in one of these emails, the trick may be to decide on the main message and use that to guide what's included and what's left out. In other words, if our main message is capitalism has screwed up the planet, if our main message is the development that's especially occurred in the United States of America, where these people believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, if our agenda says that's really been a problem for planet Earth, then we need to adjust our data in order to curse those facets of human life. We need to do something to even the playing field and bring forth equity and social justice and climate justice, et cetera, as I unpack in the book. So here's another doozy from Phil Jones. He says, we're choosing the periods to show warming. You can't do that with science. You can't pick and choose what you want to use into your equation. Again, that's not how you do science. That's how you do groupthink and propaganda. So when you do science, when you do science the way Phil Jones wants you to do science, you come out with cockamamie headlines like this. This is from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. This is the Biden administration's NOAA, saying 2023 was the world's warmest year on record by far. So, in other words, stop the press. Everything you may have ever heard about that medieval warm period is pure bunk. This is the hottest weather ever. And there have been other headlines. Here's another one that made the rounds in January of 2017, and it resurfaced again this year. Earth hasn't been this hot for 125,000 years, research shows. So 125,000 years. Now, when you make claims about this 125,000 years, I don't know where they get this stuff from. They're completely ignoring all sorts of proxy data. Let's talk about proxy data for just a moment, because we've got proxy data available from hundreds of sites all over the world. It's useful for examining the past climate record. It's everything from the tree rings to coral samples to ice cores to lake cores to sea sediment, etc. And there are other things, like, for example, during a huge windstorm off the coast of West Wales not too many years ago, suddenly they discovered 6,000-year-old oak trees that had been well-preserved in the cold water. I mean, I'm showing you a picture of them for those of you who are watching right now. Huge oak tree stumps from 6,000 years ago. Now, that would certainly imply that the temperature was much warmer thousands of years ago than it is today. We've also found some amazing things in the Siberian permafrost and other places where there is where there are similar features around the world. This is a totally preserved lion cub found in the Siberian permafrost, clearly indicating that at one time that area was frost-free and significantly warmer. But this is a graph based on proxy data that is widely held as being as accurate as we could possibly get. given, you know, our limited knowledge. So if you go back 65 million years to present, you can see that it was significantly warmer during the Paleocene and the Eocene. And then finally, about 30 million years ago, the temperature starts to get really, really cold. That's when we had an ice age following that. The ice house is what they actually end up calling that particular period in the Pleistocene. And then we start to warm. And as you can see on the far side of this graph, on the far right side, for those of you who are able to watch, you'll notice that where we are today is actually much cooler, so to speak, than other times throughout the Earth's history. You see, there are those of us who want the truth. We want to see the entire record, not the cherry-picked record that casts humankind as the problem. Here's what I say in Climate Cults, Chapter 4. It's a chapter entitled Until Now. Activists stubbornly maintain that the Little Ice Age was simply a local event that impacted isolated sectors of the Northern Hemisphere, and they have massaged the medieval warm period into little more than a few anecdotal accounts, providing ample room for Al Gore to speak of the currently boiling oceans, droughts sucking the moisture out of the land, and waves of climate refugees. But their blatant scheme is falling apart. You know, I also want to remind you of something. The thermometer is not that old. This is going to surprise a lot of people, but we have not been taking the temperature record via thermometer for too many years. It's a relatively new invention. The thermometer was invented by Galileo. It was a water-based thermometer. That's the one you see on your left in 1593. Gabriel Fahrenheit invented his mercury-based thermometer in 1714. The Fahrenheit thermometer did not go into widespread use until really the mid-1800s. Satellite measurement, which covers the entire planet, was not available until 1979. And by the way, the satellite data tells us that there is no alarming warming. But here's what we do know. And again, this flies in the face of those who have decided to take the medieval warm period and the Little Ice Age out of the equation. Here's what we do know. At the peak of the medieval warm period, 900 to 1300 AD, and I break this down in Climate Cult with both the Fahrenheit temperatures and the Celsius temperatures, but I'm just going to use Fahrenheit for this demonstration. It's estimated that the temperature was more than 2 degrees warmer than today. During the Little Ice Age, again, about 1350 to 1800 AD, the warmth of the medieval warm period was wiped out, with temperatures falling to 2 degrees cooler than today. Temperature stabilized and then rose notably, particularly in the 1930s. 1930s, and I've got so many details of this in the book, 1930s, hottest decade ever. And by the way, it was a global event, making it 1 degree warmer than today. When you see these temperature records for cities around the United States, it's just, the 1930s were, they were very hot. Then from 1940 to 1975, there was a slight cooling of 0.18 degrees, a minor warming that occurred between 1970 and 1998 of 0.34 degrees. According to satellite data from 1998 to 2014, temperatures were relatively flat. And then since 2014, temperatures have risen by about 0.36 degrees Fahrenheit. What I find interesting, and you need to understand this, that there is something called the Oregon Petition. It's a global warming petition project. Over 31,000 American scientists have signed this petition. Over 9,000 of these scientists have PhDs. Now, why is this important? Because you've heard this before. We're told 97 to 98% of all scientists agree that humans are wrecking the climate due to the use of fossil fuels. Well, yeah, 97 or 98%. If you saw my last podcast with Dr. Judith Curry, she explained this whole consensus thing. It's a cherry-picked group. I can get 98% of people agreeing on anything if I just pick the right group. But when you look at the broad number of scientists out there who have decided to sign this petition, this Oregon petition, and you see how many have PhDs, you begin to scratch your head and say, wait a second, how could all these people possibly disagree with the 97 or 98% mantra, including John Clauser? John Clauser, PhD physics, Nobel Prize physics 2022. See, something's missing from the mainstream media mantra that there's this consensus and everyone else, either skeptics or even deniers who don't want to follow the science. But I just want to go back to this temperature record that I shared from just a moment ago, because you continue to hear that there's been so much warming in recent years. And part of the problem is, you know, we're not looking at just satellite data, which covers the whole planet. We continue to rely upon thermometers that have been sparsely placed throughout the planet. Thermometers that, by the way, haven't been in consistent use throughout most of the world because of wars and various calamity. Probably the best temperature record is in the United States of America. And it's interesting when you look at that temperature record. I'm just going to give you a couple examples, and then we'll close this out. And I talk about these in Climate Cult. But when you look at, for example, the temperature in New York City, New York City, Central Park, temperature readings have been taken there since the late 1800s, very consistently, since the late 1800s. Now, in the late 1800s, when the temperatures began being taken at Central Park, population of New York City was 200,000 people. Now you have millions and millions and millions of people with subways, streets, air conditioning units, so much infrastructure, so many people. An urban heat island has been created in Central Park because of the surrounding infrastructure. And as such, since the 1800s, temperature has risen about 4 degrees Fahrenheit at Central Park. That's because of the urban heat island effect. And you can easily prove this. You go 60 miles away to West Point Military Academy, where the temperature has been taken regularly for an equal period of time. But the infrastructure, the surroundings, the environment have changed actually very little during that period of time. How much has the temperature warmed during that period at West Point? It's about half a degree. So half a degree warming versus 4 degrees warming. There's another example, and this comes from Anthony Watts. He was the guy who sorted this one out many years ago. But at Lake Tahoe, there's a temperature station, a recording station, that has seen about a 4 or 5 degree rise in temperature over the last several decades. Well, how could this be? Well, it's because since that temperature gauge was put in place, it's next to a paved parking lot now. It's next to some tennis courts. For a period of time, there was a 55-gallon drum next to it that was used as a burn bin. So again, the environment has been artificially altered and the temperatures have spiked. This is a problem we have with the temperature record. But again, if we were to look at the satellite measurements, there's no alarming warming. So as you can see, there's nothing to freak out about here. And yet the climate agenda continues to use wild language to draw people in through its scare tactics so they can be better indoctrinated and become useful idiots for their cause. I hope you have enjoyed this podcast. There's so much more in the book, Climate Cult. And I'll look forward to sharing more about that in coming episodes as well. But until then, my friends, thank you for joining me. Please make sure you share, make sure you subscribe wherever you may be listening or watching. And I appreciate you. God bless your day.